Hey, welcome, Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio's episode 478. Hey, now let's stop wallowing in our pain of the technician shortage and talk about retaining our top talent and paying them a wage that keeps them engaged and involved in your business. Enjoy a wide open dialogue that was recorded live at ASTE 2019 as this panel talks technician pay, benefits, and retention.
We have got to set up environments where we are charging the right amount, collecting the right amount, getting the right amount of efficiencies in so that we can offer things like health insurance. Years ago, we offered health insurance and we stopped, or we got really skinny on it. We need to be thinking about offering health insurance for the entire family, 100% paid by the company.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hi, friends. Carm Capriotto, your automotive aftermarket podcast guy here, reminding you to stay ahead of the curve in today's rapidly changing industry. Now, I'll be at Apex 2019 with my studio on Level 2. Please stop by and say hi. I'm also going to look at all the cool new products and technologies that are presented at Apex. In fact, it's the number one reason shop owners attend. Now, be there November 5th to the 7th at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas. If you earn your living in the aftermarket, Apex is for you. For information, visit AAPEXShow.com. Look at my social media for all my goings on while at Apex. Hey, you know I'm a big coffee guy. Can't do an interview without it. Hey, let's do Java together. If what we do here on the Aftermarket's Premier Podcast has helped you and you love learning, well, just consider sending me a cup of Joe, the coffee clubs, at remarkableresults.biz/coffee. Hey, this episode is packed with great gems of wisdom and gives you a bird's eye view of not only on some of the great benefits and pay ideas, but as we all must understand, it starts with having an enduring business culture. All the pay in the world doesn't trump an acidic culture. I'm with shop owner Lucas Underwood from L&N Performance in Blowing Rock, North Carolina. Eric Bach is here, owner of Bach Automotive from Amagansett, New York. And Rick White, president and lead coach for 180 Biz, an auto repair shop training and business coaching company. Now, find my guests' bios, their key talking points for this episode, and links to any of their previous episodes and more at remarkableresults.biz/E478. Now, this live event recorded at ASTE 2019 was a highlight of the two-day conference. I believe it's the biggest show like this in the Southeast. Now, remember, building a business focuses on the team you have and how to treat it like family. We also tackled the creative benefits that entices and motivates employees and so much more, and learn what are the most important tactics to attract and keep technicians.
This is kind of a roundtable thing. If we can push the agenda the right way, we hope to have some room at the end to take some questions. We're recording this for a future possible podcast. And at noon, in my little studio right off the main lobby here, we're going to be going live with my weekly Town Hall Academy. And what we're going to talk about is, why would you close your shop and go to training? And I think it's an issue that needs to be talked about. Congrats to anyone in here who has done that. Raise your hand if you've closed your shop and brought your team here. Fabulous. A round of applause. Excellent. Okay. Lucas, I'm going to give you the first question. Culture continues to be the number one component in building a great team and keeping people. How important is family to your business?
Oh, it is the key, right? All too often, we get into a business and we think about the numbers, we think about the focus and the drive of the business, but we forget to build a family. We forget to build a team with our people. Just the other night, we took everybody out to Dave and Buster's and had a good time, let them play video games and let them work with one another to begin to grow as a family. If we forget the fact that we have to work and combined as one to be efficient and to be productive, we really miss the bar. That culture is the most important thing in your shop.
Hey, thanks for keeping it sweet and short. Let me tell you something. The biggest theme we have on the podcast is business culture, so thanks for that. Eric, would you work for yourself?
That is something that I ask myself every day. I go in, I try to set an attitude that's right for the entire shop, because my attitude certainly sets that tone for the day as we start out. we go through and we'll have a team meeting in the morning, and everything, that attitude just sets it. For me, building that culture, it has to do with your attitude.
We're here to talk about how to pay our people well and the benefits. So why are we talking about culture and people and family? Because I think that's where it starts. And anyone in this room disagrees, don't put your hand up because you may get lynched. But who agrees that culture is critical and important in pulling this whole thing together? Okay. All right. Weak applause. Half the hands went up. I'm not happy. I preached this for 4.5 years. You're not listening. Thanks, Eric. Appreciate that. Rick, let me go to you. Your view on creating an environment where people can survive.
Not just survive. If you think about it, what is the word culture? Think about it from a medical term, right? Doctor swabs your throat or something like that, and he puts the material into a petri dish, and that's the culture. And what they're doing is creating an environment where if that has any kind of bacteria or something on it, it's going to grow. That's what we've got to do with our shops. But culture is one of those words that can really kind of get us a little foggy on the inside. Let me make it simple for you. Culture is how you make people feel being a part of your team. It's as simple as that. How do you pour into your people so that they feel valued and cared for? And you know something? Closing your shop down and bringing everybody to something like this is an ideal way to start. So this is really important. It's getting that culture going, is to get that mindset where it's not just taking from people. The people in your business are not numbers. They're not hands. They're human beings. And we've got to show them that we see that. When you hire Joe, you hire Sally, his wife, and his three kids and everything else that's going on. Be a part of it. Don't fight it.
Thanks, Rick. Excellent. I'm big on the word love in business. It really means caring for each other. And I did an episode with someone who said, I worked for a guy, and when he said, thank you for a great job, he says, I knew he meant it. And it wasn't something he knew he had to say and check off his box every day. And that's strength in family and in culture. Eric, I'm going to go to you next. How do you keep your team on board with your vision and culture? How do you share that?
The biggest thing for me is sharing that vision with my team. Do they know what your vision is? Do they know what their part in that vision is? How they're going to come in every single day, and we're all going to work together as a team to accomplish that common goal and reach that destination.
How many in this room have sat down with your people and said, can I take you back to the day that I started the business and this vision that I had of growing this business to be as big as it is or where it's going? And if you've not done that, it's really is something that you need to rewind the clock and sit down and do it. Anything to build culture doesn't mean I missed it on day one. You can do it right now, today. In fact, hopefully you're taking a few notes and you do this stuff for tomorrow. Lucas, I'm going to go to you next. How important is it to know the personal goals of your people? This is big.
Oh, it's huge. And I think that's something that we've all got to step back and we've got to talk to our people. And you know, I want to be clear. I had a conversation with Rick years ago, and I didn't know what my goals were. I didn't know what my destination was. If you don't understand the destination of your people, if you don't understand where they're trying to go, what they're trying to achieve in life, you're really doing your business and them a disservice. You have to understand what it is that they're looking for in life, and we have to move in a direction the business serves them. So if we're not connecting with them and helping them grow that and facilitate that, you know, and that comes back to culture. Comes back to building that within the shop. It's very, very important. So if you leave here today, if nothing else that you take away from this talk, go back and sit down with the guys and talk to them. Find out what it is they're trying to accomplish in their personal lives. If we can get on board with that, man, we've got a powerful thing.
Let me bookend that. Ask your people what their personal goals are and come into work the next day with a picture of it. A picture.
Absolutely.
And tell them to stick it on the toolbox, their work area. You know, they know it's a visual goal. They've spoken it to you, and then figure out how to help them get it. I don't care if it's a house, if it's a new motorcycle, if it's a classic car, figure it out. The boss knows I want this. It may be a need for a family. Who knows? But that needs to be shared, and that strengthens and builds the culture. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. Rick, what are the most important tactics to attract and keep technicians?
I'm going to put my coach hat for just a second. If you sit down and sit with one of your staff member, your team, and you say, hey, what are your goals? It's very, very likely they're going to say, I don't know, because they've never thought that way. Instead, sit down and say, hey, Matt, where would you like to see yourself in 5 years? Start a conversation like that, and then start to point out how they can get there. And that's going to mean the world to them. So, coach, off now.
Could you attack a little bit compensation and working environment?
Absolutely. So, you know, getting people into your business, it really requires what I call the three C's. It's compensation, conditions, and culture. I think the days where, you know, I was talking to a shop in Florida and he's trying to attract a hell. He's looking for a tech and he can't get anybody. But I was talking to him and he said, I said, how hot is it down there today? And he says, it's 103 outside. Well, they're in a shop that's not air conditioned. Let me tell you something. There are too many options out there today for people that don't have to work in those environments. And I think for us, just because we did, I think it's time for us to stop thinking that way. We cannot expect people to bake in the summer and freeze in the winter. We need to create conditions that help them succeed. We've got to stop. Look, you can't run a shop from a creeper and you can't manage it from a front counter. You got to be the CEO of your business. And this is part of it. It's creating that environment where people can thrive.
Thank you, man. Perfect. Appreciate that. So you get up in the morning, facing life, put the feet on the ground, look in the mirror. Lucas, how do you develop the right attitude to bring into work every day?
Well, you know, Rick said something to me years ago that's always stuck with me. He said, every relationship that you have has baggage. And he said, you're bringing it to work. I said, what do you mean? He said, whether it's a romantic relationship, whether it's a business relationship, whether it's an employee relationship, every relationship you have has baggage. And we treat people based upon that baggage. So whether you have a problem tech in the shop, whether you've had somebody in the shop that you've had a problem with in the past, you cannot treat your employees based upon that previous baggage. You have to come in with a new and bright view every single day. You have to lead your team. You cannot get stuck in the past. And you cannot get stuck on something that's gone wrong in the past. You have to grow every single day. And the way you do that's bring a positive attitude every single day to the shop. Your people will appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Now, Lucas, I want to stay with you. We've basically been talking about a lot of soft stuff. Come on, Carm, get where the action is. I want to figure it all out, okay? But soft skills and soft stuff is probably the single biggest foundation that you can build in the company, because you can go ahead and figure out how you can actually compensate people. But if you can't keep them and you can't keep your customers happy, you'll never have the money to do it. So let's move on to some hard stuff. Do you feel, Lucas, that creativity in building a benefits program and even an individual benefits program for your people pays dividends?
Absolutely. I'm going to call Ryan Jackals out. Ryan works for me and came on as a CSR. And came on as kind of an apprentice type position. And Ryan came to me and he said, look, I really want to be a technician. I want to begin to move in a direction to gain some of these technical skills. So we began to work with Ryan to come up with the things he needed to make that happen, whether it was base skills training, whether it was different hours, whatever he needed to be able to go to school, make these things happen. We worked to be flexible with him. Same thing with all of our employees. We work to make sure that what we're offering to them is meeting their needs. If we can't meet their needs, how can we attract them?
Wow. How important. Thanks. Individualized. It's perfect. Sometimes, though, it takes the individual to say, hey, I'm ready. And
absolutely.
So you recognize that.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Hey, Rick, let's get into some hammering and nailing here. How do we afford to compensate, provide benefits and training? The biggest question of the morning here.
You got to stop telling yourself the story that you can't charge appropriately. I need you to understand the biggest problem. I can help every one of you today. The biggest problem in your business is staring at you in the mirror. That's the absolute truth of it. You know, why do I have one client that feels like he can't get a pre-authorization for testing when I have another client that has a customer signed for $300 all the time? What's the difference? The difference is that mindset. The reality is, if we're going to attract people into this industry, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the average pay for a technician is $36,000 in our country. That's a problem. And then we expect them to have tools. What's that, another 50, 60,000? And oh, by the way, the tax laws changed last year and they can't take them as a deduction anymore. We have got to set up environments where we are charging the right amount, collecting the right amount, getting the right amount of efficiencies in so that we can offer things like health insurance. Years ago, we offered health insurance and we stopped, or we got really skinny on it. We need to be thinking about offering health insurance for the entire family, 100% paid by the company. I'm talking to clients about going to 4 10-hour days and doing 4 days a week so that the employees have, but that's team members have more time with their families and to do what they want to do. Talking about 2 weeks and 3 weeks vacation, time off. We got to recognize that these people have lives outside of us, and we need to be able to adapt to that as well. So the big thing is we've got to start charging for what we're worth. We haven't for a long time. We're an industry that has subsidized auto repair for our customers for years, and we need to stop it.
Rick, what if I sat down with my team and said, I want to figure out how to do full family paid benefits, 100% on my part. It's going to cost X. Can you help me get there? And there may be new processes, new systems, different labor rate. As you said, frankly, the front counter is the centerpiece of the whole business, and it probably starts there. And it starts in not letting every little thing go, charging for everything. I mean, every business has their own strengths and weaknesses, mm-hmm. but would you believe that that may be a transparent way to start?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what says you care more than when you pour into somebody? When you bring your team in here, what do you think that says to them, right? Morale, time over time. I have multiple clients in here this weekend with their entire store, and they cannot figure out just the money numbers is amazing, right? That makes a difference. But the morale and the realization, you know, the technicians are sitting there for a long time and they're thinking they're just this one little guy doing a brake job. And you come to one of these things and you think, holy crap, I'm part of an industry. But when you sit down with your entire team and say, this is what I want to do, this is what it's going to cost, this is what we need, can you help with this? This is what I need from you so we can make it a reality. It's huge. Absolutely huge, the transparency. That's one of the biggest parts that you need in your culture.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Eric, what about being involved in the community? What about education? How do you help your staff with their future growth plans inside your business?
So for me, I feel that our future, everybody talked about getting into the schools, whether it be your local trade schools, your high schools, whatever it might be. I'm a firm believer in grow your own. Our newest technician, he started with me when he was 15 years old, grabbed him in high school. He came through and he's done a great job. We provided an opportunity for him to go away to a trade school if he wanted to. He decided he wanted to come to work full time for us. It's been good. He's learning. He's doing well. But I firmly believe that you need to be a pillar or a rock foundation within your community that starts setting an example, and it starts showing the people within your community, the parents of these students, that look what he's able to do. He runs an auto repair shop. He's not that grease monkey. He's not that uneducated kid who went to a Votech school rather than going to college. He's somebody who has built an amazing business, provides an amazing opportunity for his employees, provides them the life that they deserve. And that's something that a parent could be proud to push their child into a program like that and towards this industry.
Who's involved with education in their communities, with post-secondary or high school? Every year, more hands go up. I am huge on this. If you listen to the podcast at all, you're going to hear me talk an awful lot. In fact, today an episode went out where I interviewed three post-secondary. Post-secondary is college, by the way. A lot of people don't know that's an educational term for post-high school, post-secondary. And it's a great episode, and I ask them some pretty tough questions. It's worthy of a listen, because my challenge to you is, have you sat down and talked to any of our men and women who are going to college for automotive technology and what their plans are? What would they like to earn? How will their debt affect what you're going to pay them? How soon do they want to become master techs? Is there going to be a mentoring program? And so we can complain about the technician shortage, or we can do something about it. By the way, I did a great interview with Mike Davidson, who came on, and I don't want to give you the gist of the episode, but I got to share it with you because I think it's genius. He came on and he said, there's a really cool new place to find apprentices for your businesses. And when he told me, he kind of blew my mind. Never thought of it. The homeschooling industry. Now, listen to why he says it. It came out on Monday for the record with Mike Davidson. But think about where we're getting our apprentices and our young people. And if you're not on an advisory panel in a college or in high school, then you're not deep in, if you know what I mean. Hey, guys, regarding paying our techs and retaining them, how valuable is time off?
I just started talking with our guys and asking them what their ideas were of how we could better our culture or our environment. And time off was the number one thing. They brought up to me the idea of a 4-day work week. And Rick, you had mentioned that. And we actually were throwing around the idea of a 4-day work week that would rotate. So you would be Monday through Thursday this week. Then you'd be Tuesday through Friday the next. It would provide every other weekend a 4-day weekend off for them to spend with their families. So it's something that, you know, we need to do a little more planning on, have to figure out how we deal with it with our customers. But it's something I'm completely open to because that was their number one thing that they came up to me with.
Excellent.
Hey, Carm here. Now, you know I attend Apex in Las Vegas each year. It's my must-attend show for one simple reason. It keeps me up to date on everything in the global automotive aftermarket industry. At Apex, I see, touch, and compare the latest new tools and equipment in the industry. I learn how new technology is affecting independent repair shops. I sit in on advanced training sessions on underhood service and alternative fuel vehicles. And so important, I network with others facing the same opportunities and challenges. I know many of you are shop owners, managers, or technicians. I also know going to Apex means time away from your business. But I simply don't know how you can stay ahead of the huge transformation and changes taking place in the industry without attending Apex. Hey, make Apex your must-attend show. The dates are Tuesday, November 5th through Thursday, November 7th at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas. Registration, it's only $40, and it only takes a few minutes. Go to aapexshow.com.
Pass the mic to Lucas. Question, 4-day work week. Anyone here is doing that?
Nobody.
It kind of reminds me of the same question. What do you mean I can close, bring all my people to training? What do you mean I can survive with 4 days? I've talked to a bunch of people that are on a 4-day schedule. They make it happen. It's a 10-hour day. They'll tell you straight up, I know I can make more money if I'm open the 5th day. But you know what? I've retained my people. Our culture is so good in our company. And, you know, our customers have learned to work with us. Now, the loaner cars are a big issue. And life as they know it is just great in many of these shops with a 4-day week. Lucas, your opinion on time off.
Well, my opinion is this. So when we think of customer interaction, right? Rick said something to me years ago, and he said that your technician is your internal customer.
Wait a minute. You're blaming Rick for an awful lot of stuff here.
I know. Most of it's his fault. I mean, let's just be realistic. When we look at our internal customers, right, when we talk about customer satisfaction, and we come back to that, how do we determine how they feel about us? Well, we better put ourselves in their shoes. So when we're talking about our technician, I want you all to think about the fact, how would I feel if I was working their hours? What is it that I'm looking for as far as time off? Time off is extremely important in my shop, and we try and offer them everything we possibly can, paid time off, sick time, the whole nine yards. We shouldn't have to work ourselves to death and never have time to enjoy the fruits of our labor. So I think time off is a very important factor.
Time off, I think, is really important. How many people give a week off after the first year? How many give 2 weeks after the first year? Man, they have families, they have things. You can figure this out, just back it into the cost. And then you can mark up your stuff and do it so that you can offer these things. Can you imagine working 2 years before you got 2 weeks off? Now, I don't know about you guys, but I coach my clients. Owners should take 1 week off every quarter just to recharge and reevaluate and figure out where you're going. They need the same thing. They have little kids and, man, they, you know, if Johnny's got a little soccer game, they got to be able to go. They shouldn't have to feel like they're giving something up to work with you. Isn't it easy to see where resentment comes from? Where they start to disengage? You got to understand, people don't quit all at once. They quit emotionally first, then they quit mentally, and then they quit physically. You don't want them there, man. You want them as engaged as you can possibly get them. You do that by making them part of the team, seeing them as a human being, and giving them the opportunity to be part of a family as well.
I know a shop owner in Shirts, Texas. His name is Mark Roberts, and he has got an incredible policy of time off at his place. He says, take what you need. And so if Susie has her recital at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you don't tell the team at 9 a.m, but hey, listen, next Thursday, Susie's going, fine, take the whole day. Travel, hockey, travel, football, all this stuff. Anything goes in his place. And his reason is so interesting. He says, we do this, Carm. He's under the auspices is that the business won't die. Nobody will die if somebody takes some scheduled time off and it's an open book. Now, he says no one abuses it. That's why he's got some incredible culture and partners in the business. And he's just a great, great operator. I've interviewed him a bunch of times. It's really worth going to my website, typing in Mark Roberts. He's really a smart guy. In a compensation package, you know, I've done shows on how to pay our technicians $100,000 a year. So interesting to hear the discussion that comes from shop owners that are doing this, okay? Of course, metropolitan areas and age of business and success of a long-term business. It's a package. It's not $100,000 in cash plus all the benefits, but it's a package. Guys, do you have any ideas of some elements that could be included in a compensation package? Individually, Rick, let's start with you. What would be some elements that we could put in a package that incentivizes our team to earn more?
So I totally believe that everybody in the business should have some performance basis to their compensation package. That way there, the harder they work, the more they make. Doesn't have to be full flat rate or anything like that, but everybody, including the bookkeeper, should be on performance based. I mean, aren't you all? You know, I was talking this morning in my class and I said, how many owners pay yourself the same each week? And they all, you know, a bunch of hands went up and I said, how many of you think you're on performance based? And nobody put their hand up. And I said, well, let me ask you another question. I said, whose check doesn't get cashed when there's not enough money first? And it's always the owner's check. So we should have them all on performance based. The other thing is benefits, tool insurance, protect their investment, health insurance, dental, vision, time off, you know, get tickets to games, give them, you know, give the tickets out. I mean, there's so many different things. Get to know your people. What are they like? I tell a story all the time. I have my sister-in-law here. She used to work for ADP and she'd work real hard and they'd give her a Starbucks gift card. You know, it was the biggest slap in the face she ever got because every time she got one, she was thinking, my boss doesn't even know me. She hates Starbucks. I loved it. I liked their chai. So I kept telling her, work harder. But it's one of those things where we've got to align what we're going to provide to things that matter to them. See, for too long, we've been running our businesses like we play checkers where every piece moves the same way. We've got to recognize that we're playing chess. Every piece moves different. Every piece is motivated differently. And it's our job as CEO to orchestrate that movement to get our desired end result.
You're going to make me follow that up.
I know you'll top it.
I don't know about all that. I think he's right on the money. And I think when we look at compensation, when we look at all these plans and packages that we're putting together for our team, we have to go to our team and make them a part of that plan. We have to offer the things that they're looking for. We have to bring the things to the table that they need. That's the true important thing. We have to meet their needs. If we don't understand what those needs are, isn't it pretty difficult to meet them?
I think just following up with that, every technician is different. Every employee is different in what they are looking for. And for me, I have one tech who uses a lot of time off. So providing him more time off, we have another tech who uses very little time off. But we'll do things such as, you know, we'll go on a camping trip. You know, we'll go to the racetrack, take the camper for the weekend. And that's what the tech who takes a little bit of time off. That's the only day he takes 2 days for the entire year. He's given 2 weeks, but in 4 years, he's taken a total of 8 days. And so when we start talking about him, his compensation may be completely different than his brother who works for us, who, again, he uses his 2 weeks in every single day within it. Looking at the younger tech with what he's going to take and what he needs, we're looking at investing in tools for our younger tech. The two older brothers, they've invested a lot of money in it. We provide their insurance for those tools. We provide lunch every single day to our technicians. That's an out-of-pocket expense that is anywhere from $100 to $150 a day for our staff. But it's something that they don't have to worry about throughout the day. What deli am I going to? What time am I wasting? It's just little things like that that can really add into a compensation package that is not just dollars and cents. It's not just health insurance or retirement. There's lots of little ways you can get inside to see what helps them.
I need to follow up on the lunch thing. Fabulous. Anyone here ever provide your people a document called an invisible paycheck? Does anyone know what it is? Okay. You pay so much. Think about your FICA contributions. And if you have healthcare, think of your healthcare contributions. Think of lunch. When you look at the total compensation package, it goes way beyond what goes in the bank every day. And you need to complete an invisible paycheck at least yearly for your people. And you yourself may be surprised what each individual employee, team member costs you. Guys, I had some thoughts on compensation ideas. You didn't hit them. So let me throw them up in the air here and see if they land. ASE certifications would be a performance-based part, okay? Efficiency, that's KPI. Rick, think about the KPIs that we measure on our people and our team. They could all be included in certain levels.
Absolutely. Those are, you got to look at what you're looking for from each position, right? So from a tech position, looking at hours billed is a really great way to do it. The ASE certs, training. You can give them a bump for every training, every so many hours of training, you give them a bump in hourly pay. What else do we work on?
How about comebacks?
Tech error?
Yeah. I mean, who's measuring comebacks? Who's really doing deep dive information on comebacks? Was it the part, you know, is it, you know, who was the supplier? What was the brand? Who was the tech? What was the cause? Mm-hmm. You know, when I've done podcasts on comebacks, it's genius what shop owners are doing to manage it. And when you manage it and you do research on it, they start coming down. And that training piece also helps.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, how many top shop operators that I interview that say it's 40 hours minimum today? It's getting higher. So with that in mind, who's paying for training? I'd like to talk about that for a moment because that's really part of a comp package.
Oh, we absolutely pay our techs for training, and we pay them for their time while they're here as well. And you know, here's the thing is they are improving your business, right? And they are what makes the revenue in the business. So if you're not paying them for being here, you know, what's the motivation aside from education? Obviously, that's really important. Don't we also have to motivate them and make sure they're fairly compensated for their time?
Lucas, if I train them and they leave, that's just a waste of my money.
You know, not to say something about...
What if you don't and they stay?
Exactly. How did you know what I was going to say?
Thank you. You played right into my hand here. Exactly right. And that's the biggest excuse. That's an excuse. Like I can't close my shop and come here for training. We're please come over to the studio at noon as we tear that subject apart on my Town Hall Academy today that we do live every Friday. And it's just, these are excuses that the industry is getting fed up with. The leadership of your industry is getting fed up with these excuses. You know, coaches like Rick, and I know a ton of them, they're all on the same page when it comes to this. And I think they look at trying to drag their clients over the line. And when some of them do, Rick, all of a sudden they find the light, don't they? And their businesses blossom.
Oh, yeah. And then they come back and they say, wow, this was a really good idea I had. But it's the important part is getting the people in and realizing that it is possible. You know, you can't look at other people that are doing stuff and say, well, they're doing it because they charge too much or something like that. You all can do this. You can all jump in and make your businesses better from your team's perspective. And the easiest way to do that is just to sit down one-on-one and find out where they want to go and what you can do to help them get there and help them do their job better.
Excellent. Hey, Lucas, I got a question. Should we look beyond our comfort zone for talent, new talent?
Absolutely. Right. Just hired a new technician. He's sitting over here in the back, and he came from Staten Island, New York.
Wow.
So, you know, something that you have to think about when looking for a tech. You know, we typically go in this 20, 30, 40 mile radius, maybe 50 mile radius, and we think that's our limit. That's as far as we can go. We have to open our mind. There's a lot of folks in this country who are wanting to move. They're looking for a change of scenery. Something's happened. They need to get somewhere else. Now, something you need to keep in mind about that, you got to look at their compensation package. You've got to look at things you can offer them, whether maybe we look at providing their rent for the first couple of weeks as a sign-on bonus, maybe a couple months of rent to help them get moved, find the place for them. Do a lot of that legwork because they don't know anybody in your area. That's a huge undertaking to move a long distance like that. Begin to put the pieces together to help them bring that together. It's a culture change. So you've got to really work hard to bring them into your culture. But don't be afraid to look outside of that 20 or 30 mile window. Look across the country. Look out at the big picture.
There's some great services out there that'll help you find a tech. Rick, when we're hiring, do we hire for attitude or aptitude?
I'm going to tell you, we're an industry for years that hire people for what they can do, and we fire them for who they are. Think about that for a second. And I know the hardest thing to do in a business is to get it. You got a great producer that's cancer to your business. That is the hardest person you'll ever let go, and it's also the best thing you'll ever do for your business. Because you can talk culture all day long, but if you tolerate that, you're telling everybody culture doesn't matter. So you want to hire people for who they are first, and then look for the ability, the aptitude, so that you can train them to do it your way. Because the reality is, we hire people, and one of the mistakes we make as owners, and I did for years, look, I used to work for a jerk, and then I bought a business and went to work for a complete lunatic. So one of those things is, I used to hire people thinking they were going to bring exactly the skill set I needed to the table. But there weren't at the time a lot of shops that were producing the number of hours per RO and stuff that we were. And I realized, wait a minute, I need to hire people that can do the job, that have a great attitude, and then show them how to do it my way. So otherwise, they're going to run your business the way they did their last job, which probably won't work for you. So it's really important to know what you want from a values perspective and from a attitude perspective. You know, Leona Helmsley one time was interviewed, and they said, how do you get such happy people? What do you do to get them happy? And she looked at the reporter, smiled, and she said, I hire happy people. It's not that hard, right? But we got to know what we want from a values and a mindset perspective before we can get it. So I think it's ultimately very critical that you hire for who they are first, and then the rest, I think, can come.
Specifically service advisors?
No, everybody. Everybody. I had a tech that was a top producer, and he was absolute poison to my business. And it was funny. He did something really stupid. You know, like he got mad and walked out. And I said, we're adults. We can't do that. You do it again, you're out. And he said, okay. And then 3 weeks later, he did it again and was surprised when he didn't have a job the next day. That morning, two techs walked over to me and said, what the heck took you so long? I had no idea. So we've got to be aware. And the other thing is, you should be checking in with your people every day. Temperature check questions, I call them. Hey, man, how you doing? How can we do a better job today? How can I help you do a better job? What's your favorite part of what you do? What's the most challenging? What would you like not to do anymore? Ask these questions every day and be a part of it.
Hey, you know, Rick is so right. How many in this room have let someone go, or it just worked out that they are no longer employed at your place, and everyone looked at you and said, about time, boss. And you know what? Deep in your heart and deep in your soul, you knew you should have done that a while back.
And your people are just looking to see what kind of leader you really are. And every once in a while, you have a great idea and you become a better leader and you do what's right. But Lucas, I want you to cover quickly apprenticing, because I know you're doing it right now. And that's where our talent's going to groom from.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we're really blessed because the man who taught my apprentice is sitting over here at one of the front tables, and my apprentice is sitting back here in the back. We brought on a young lady as an apprentice who has been a fundamental portion of our business. She brought so much energy and so much drive to the shop, just became part of the family overnight. And here's the thing is it may not, just like any employee, it may not be the right one the first time. Right? You may not get the right apprentice the first time, but if you expect to find technicians, this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to bring them into the shop and begin to educate them and teach them your way. Now, I hear a lot of shop owners who say, yeah, but I need somebody with experience. And you know, Rick touched on this. Do you want somebody with the wrong experience? Do you want somebody that's been doing it the wrong way? You know, we've had dealership technicians who come in and just will not do the job that we want done. They don't look at our customers as saying, I want the best for them. Bridget takes personal stock in every car that she touches. Everyone's wiped down and cleaned, and she makes sure it's nice. We need to raise these new technicians up from the ground. And that's how we provide the quality product that we want to provide.
You know, I talk to shops and they're like, I want to find a good fit. I want to go find a good fit. How many of us have said that before? You want to find a good ad. You want to hire people that are going to add to your staff, add to your culture. Because if you keep finding the same fit, you're never going to grow. You want to find people that are going to bring a new dimension to your business. It's going to be huge.
Thank you so much. Hey, look, I want to come down into the audience. Are there any questions that you may have for my esteemed panel at all?
You mentioned that there's no more tax write-off for technicians buying tools. What if the shop bought all the tools, technicians brought all their tools home, and their wife never saw a Snap-on check again?
I absolutely believe that shops today should be providing the tools for technicians. Thank you. I really do. I think the technicians today shouldn't have to worry about the tools. I think they're responsible for them, but they're shop tools. And think about it. If everybody in your area requires techs to have tools and you bring someone in and they don't need it, how likely are they to stay there? Think about that. They need some new tools. Great. Let's put some in the toolbox. Go through the box once a week, once a month, make sure everything's in there. They're responsible for anything that's missing. But they should absolutely be provided the tools, in my opinion.
Thank you, Rick. Anybody else on comment? No?
So on the topic of the apprenticeship, how do you get around the day-to-day rat race of getting the vehicles in and out, at the same time training the apprentice?
Absolutely. So, you know, we have trainings like this we all go to. We do the evening trainings at times. We set things up to where we have the training. We've worked with Gearhead Garage to make sure we implement some of those online training functions that we can have. But the key that I have found is put them to work. Let them get their hands dirty. Let them start doing the work and have a set workflow for them. So if we have something that they know every single time, this is my responsibility, and I'm to do this at this time and handle it this way, that begins to build a process. And when they do it over and over again, it takes some of your workload off. So now you can say, your work's done for the day. I need you to go work with Terry, or I need you to go work with Eric, and they can begin to pick up and grow on that or work with a service advisor. The one thing I'll say is we really train the entire shop on every single position. So our apprentice can be at the front counter some days, can be in the shop with the guys, can be doing quick cleans on cars, the whole nine yards, but we train everybody together. My technicians go to service advisor classes all the time. We want everybody to understand and grow together. So that's how we do it.
Specifically, I think to answer your question, Lucas is absolutely right, but I think you partner them with a mentor in the shop. And you set it up so that the mentor gets some kind of credit towards the hours that the apprentice produces so that it doesn't hurt them. And they take them under their wing and help them through. That's the biggest way.
I have found that more and more of our suppliers are coming out with apprentice programs to help guide the apprentice through and into becoming a valuable asset to the business. Okay. This was great. I thank so much Rick White, Lucas Underwood, and Eric Bach.
I just wanted to finish up. Listen, we all tell ourselves stories all day long. How many of you have found yourself saying there's no good techs out there? More than you want to admit, I guarantee you. There are great techs out there. You just haven't found a way to get them there yet. So please be very, very careful about the stories you tell yourself. There are great techs out there. There's great potential out there. Our industry has never been in a better position from a financial and growth perspective than now. You just got to be able to start to look at your business, understand the value that you bring to the table for your customers, and charge appropriately.
Thank you. And by the way, I'm doing an interview tomorrow with three of the apprentices. They're in the North Carolina program. I'm excited to do that as we cover just about any topic on the podcast. If you have your app, get your phone out, go to your app store, type in Remarkable Results Radio, download the app, and you got access to all of this. And we'll be doing interviews while I'm here for a couple of days that you'll be able to hear in the future. Bob Pulverenti and IGO and ASTE, thank you all so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.